Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody, we're back. The Great Divide. I'm Alan Jacoby. With me today, very special guest. He's the host of the Red, White, and Truth podcast on Right Side Broadcasting Network. And it's even more special because now he's running for Congress, Mike Crispy. Mike, what's going on? Thanks for being here.
Hey, man. It's first of all, it's so great to be on your show. And second of all, it's almost kind of weird now because I'm on the opposite side of it. You know, I'm bringing on all these people and, you know, podcast hosts, but now I'm a podcast guest. So, I mean, it's really cool. I'm honored to be here. And, you know, this is one of the first interviews out of the gate here as I am now a candidate for office. It's been a whirlwind of the last 2 days, but it's really fun and it's going to be a lot of work. But I'm telling you, we got to do this for the country. We have no other choice at this point.
100%. And, you know, I follow your show. I listen to you. I'm very good friends with the guys over at Steak for Breakfast podcast. You're on their show often.
Yeah.
And I first learned of your congressional run from the infamous Roger Stone when he was on my show.
Yeah.
And he said it on my show because I had put the clip up and tagged you in it and said, hey, you're running for Congress. And you replied. So take us back. You're obviously a Trump supporter. So am I. You're working with Right Side Broadcasting. When did you become a Trump supporter and bring us into, you know, your show, and then all of a sudden now you're running for Congress against a 40-year rhino in Jersey?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. It all started back in 2015. Trump had declared his candidacy, and I was an early fan of his. I mean, I went to a rally. It was October of 2015. He had it at the Jacksonville Landing in Florida. At the time, I was in the area when the rally was occurring, and I got there at 6 o'clock in the morning on the day of the rally. I think he was due to speak at like 1 o'clock. I was a younger professional at the time working in the business field and in the financial services world. And I got there at six, and believe it or not, back then, if you got to a Trump rally at 6 a.m., you were the first person online. So listen, there was a ton of people there that day, like 10,000, 15,000, but I was one of the first people, and I was right there in the front of the podium. So, you know, you look at back in history, I've been there since day one,
yeah,
supporting the president. And ever since that time, I just always wanted to do more. So, you know, I volunteered for his campaign. You know, his movement got me involved in politics, got me compelled to want to take more action as time went on. And that's exactly what I've done. And it just kind of grew from one thing to another. I was there the night that he was elected at his campaign victory party. Had a friend in New York City who was working on the campaign, knew how much I loved Trump, knew how much I was following the race. And that was one of the most memorable nights that I'll ever have in my entire life, was being there when he won. And, you know, it was electric. I was in the room,
yeah,
looking at him in that crowd. It was at the Hilton in New York City. Yeah. I was there, a moment in history, and I will never forget it. And ever since that time, I've been hooked, and that's what led me to do the show. And now leading me to run for Congress.
You got to be. You're out of your mind. Now you want to run for Congress. One thing leads into another. And you're an America First candidate. That's what you are. You're in the America First agenda. You know, it's funny you said something, Mike, how Donald Trump, you were in the finance world, and Donald Trump inspired you and opened your eyes to pay more attention to politics. And I have this conversation with a lot of people. Love him or hate him, Donald Trump has opened more eyes of younger people, whether they hate Donald Trump or love Donald Trump, to politics overall. The big wake up, I think, started in the Obama administration with all the nonsense he was pulling. But Donald Trump really shook the cages of younger people that had no idea about politics, didn't want to be involved. And because Donald Trump's attitude of, hey, F you to the establishment, this is what I'm doing, it really got people to pay attention. Yeah, maybe you're one of them, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, I've said this on the air on Right Side before rallies, and I said it and I clipped it and it was on my social media. I said, and it's such an important thing that we're talking about here, is that something that Donald Trump, his legacy at the end of the day and throughout the time of history, he will be remembered as the single greatest figure probably in the history of world politics that woke such a massive amount of people up to what's going on from their local elected political offices all the way to the top and everything in between. He changed the paradigm. People did not talk about politics like this before Donald Trump. So looking back on him 100 years from now, I think his number one legacy will be he was the guy that got people to say, wait a minute, this is kind of jacked up. Or this local councilman in my town is a swamp monster. This assemblyman or this state senator, or this member of Congress. And he got so many people to engage in the process. And I think that's great. And that's why the swamp hates him so much, because he uncovered their corruption.
Oh, absolutely. So you got a popular show. It's out there. I watch it all the time. And now you have a following and an audience. You're a Jersey guy, and you're running for Congress. And it's funny, when I found out you were running for Congress, when Roger Stone was on my show and he said it, and he was telling me, you know, about a young guy in Jersey that he's getting behind, and he mentioned your name, and I go, I know who he is. I watch his show. And then, yeah, all of a sudden you're running for Congress, and obviously, you know, you're heavily endorsed by Roger Stone. He came out and said it, which is great. I mean, to have an infamous political icon like Roger Stone quarterbacking even part of a campaign for you is an honor, and the unbelievable education that you're probably already getting from the man is priceless, because he's literally an American treasure in politics. So you decided to run for Congress. Obviously, now you have the endorsement of Roger Stone. What made you decide? I know the guy that you're running against in the primary, he's there for 40 years and basically useless. From what I understand, he doesn't even live in the district.
He doesn't even live in the state. He lives in Virginia full time. He spends about 5 to 7 days a year in New Jersey, if you can believe it. And he lives in Herndon, Virginia now since 1983. So he doesn't know Jersey. He doesn't know the people of New Jersey. He hasn't been here full time since 1983. And he's one of the longest serving swamp monster politicians in the history of Congress. Time for him to go.
Establishment. He's just there. He keeps getting reelected. And I believe he supports a lot of these progressive movements that they're trying to jam down our throats. I was doing a little research on him. So what made you jump into this? Just tell us about what you're running on. I know you're America First. I know you're pro-life. Just take us through it. I want everyone far and wide, whoever's going to watch and listen, to know Mike.
Right. Well, I will say first things first about Roger. You know, he's a political icon. I had the fortunate privilege of meeting him when I was covering an RSBN event, actually, and we've kept in touch ever since. He said, when I interviewed him that day at the event, he said, you know, I'm listening to you a lot today, and you kind of remind me of myself with some of the things that I'm saying. And I was like, oh, that's really nice. And he said that on the air. And ever since then, you know, we exchanged numbers, and we've been friendly ever since. And honestly, when it came time to this race, you know, when he put me on the spot, when he came on my show and said, oh, Mike, you know, you're going to do this. You could maybe be the guy to take this rhino. I saw President Trump's call. And ever since then, we started talking about it. You know, he said it on the air. I'm going to bring this matter up to the president. I think you'd be great. So just the fact that a man who, first of all, if you look back at his career, he got going really in New Jersey. He ran Ronald Reagan's Northeast Political Operation, which New Jersey was centralized. He was, I believe, living in the state. You know, he ran Tom Keene Sr.'s governor campaign in the state of New Jersey, one of the most, you know, consequential Republican governors ever. He won that race twice. And he knows everything really about the inner workings of New Jersey politics, if you can believe it or not. So, you know, you got a guy who's been with Reagan, Nixon, ran the Keene campaign, knows New Jersey, and obviously knowing Donald Trump and advising him since 1979. So it's just such an honor that a guy with such a vast resume, I've said to people, name me one person in the history of politics who has a deeper resume than Roger Stone. The person doesn't exist. And when you talk to him one-on-one, and when you deal with him, you know, which I have had the great privilege of doing and gaining wisdom from him over the course of this campaign, I have learned so much. And the man truly is a brilliant strategist. And that is why rhinos and radical leftists alike fear this man. And we're really excited about this campaign. And I'm just really excited because President Trump made a call for somebody to primary this rhino. And I looked at some of the people who were entering the field and I said, this needs to be a two-man race. And this is now a two-man race between Chris Smith, representing 41 years of America being taken back to depths at which we would have never thought imaginable, and Mike Crispy and America First, bold, unafraid, principled, conservative America First ideals that are going to be the future of this country and put us on a path to take this country back from the radical leftists who never look to compromise with us, who never look to make policies that, you know, make Republicans happy. They're running over the rhinos in Congress, and the rhinos in Congress are happy to cut deals because it leads to their own self-preservation. We need to stop it. And Chris Smith is the poster boy of that stuff.
Absolutely. All of these rhinos, these establishment rhinos that anchor themselves in Congress for 20, 30, 40 years, they're all useless. They all need to go. That's why I'm a firm believer in term limits. I like that a lot of candidates that are running or, you know, they're signing on to term limits to say, you know, they're going to do a few terms in Congress or a few terms in Senate. And I like that. Get in, make a difference, get out, and not have that attitude is, well, I'm going to sit there for 30 years making my $174,000 a year plus whatever else I can enrich myself in political action committees and all of that. What, obviously, we got a lot of important issues coming into the midterms. I mean, 2020 was a disaster. Election integrity has got to be one of the top priorities going into the midterms. And I talk about it a lot. I have, unfortunately, there are still a lot of Republican voters out there saying, oh, well, the Democrats are just going to steal all the midterm elections, too. And I say, well, they're going to try. They're going to try to cheat, steal, and rig anything they can. And that's why it's up to us as Republican voters and people working in campaigns and elections to grassroots organize. It doesn't have to be big like Turning Point USA big. Small clusters to get people to vote, get people registered. In the past 10 months, I was able to get 12 people either registered or flipped from Democrat to Republican or independent to Republican because they were watching my show. They know me and I opened their eyes a little bit. They weren't into politics. And then boom. And they're ready to go out and vote in their respective areas in 2022. And I feel I'm happy that I was able to do that. I wish more people would do it because the Democrats aren't stupid. They're meeting, they're organizing, yeah, and they're doing it, and they're also finding ways to beat the system. And that's where it comes to election integrity. I mean, you Absolutely. Have in Georgia right now, they're going after ballot harvesting, illegal ballot harvesting. So Mike Crispy running for Congress, what is your take on election integrity from the 2020 election to where we are now and where we're going?
Well, I'll say this. I think, you know, first and foremost, everyone knows what happened in 2020. Everyone knows what happened. You look at the results. I say this to people. I said this to a reporter earlier today. Joe Biden won the least amount of United States counties out of any presidential, not winner, but any presidential candidate in the history of presidential elections. Full stop, period. That's a fact. President Trump won 18 out of 19 bellwether counties. You look at a comparison between swing state big cities and reliably red or blue big cities. What I mean by that is take a look at Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a big city in a swing state, and take a look at Cleveland, Ohio, a big city in a red state. Take a look at Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, big city in a swing state, and New York, New York, a big city in a red state. Why in New York did President Trump have virtually the same, if not went up a little bit, in his 2016 to 2020 campaign? But in Philadelphia, he surged to levels that Martin Luther King wouldn't have gotten on the ballot. Joe Biden did. Same thing with Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Joe Biden got crazy, pumped up inner city votes. And in Cleveland, Ohio, President Trump had the exact same thing from 16 to 20. So you tell me what's going on there. I don't trust it. And election integrity is so important in this country. And that is why we talk about the local level and people being disenfranchised. The most important thing is people getting involved locally, because that is how you hold your local officials accountable, because these elections are won and lost at the precinct level. They're won and lost in your local poll location. If enough people have their eyes on it and are challenging the polls at the polling location, demanding the count be transparent, we are going to have a transparent election. And as Republicans, we want everybody to vote, but we want them to vote fairly. We want them to vote legally. I said to a reporter today, you know what I would love? I would love Election Day to be a holiday and everybody show up to vote with their ID and validate who they are. And then they cast their vote. It's as simple as that. Somehow in the conservative movement, Democrats look at us and say, oh, that is a controversial position. How is what I just said controversial? It's not. And anybody who says otherwise is not being genuine. And the Democrats' bill that they're putting up, the John Lewis Voting Act, is literally, if we read through that bill is designed to federalize elections, and federalizing elections is the opposite of what we need. It's the opposite of what the founding fathers, what the Constitution, what it all lays out. These elections are localized, and you can't change election laws unless it's voted on and ratified at the state level. Democrats do not care about small government. They want big government control, and that is what they're trying to do with elections, and it is so dangerous for this country.
Well, absolutely. And if you talk to Chuck Schumer and Cori Bush and Ilhan Omar and all the other, you know, leftist progressive morons, voter ID, you ask someone for voter ID, Mike, you're a racist. That's a racist thing because, you know, one out of every four African-Americans can get an ID. And that's complete nonsense. We know that's a lie. Chuck Schumer now wants to go ahead and change Senate rules and do away with the filibuster. So, and use the excuse of Trump infiltrating the Republican Party and making and protecting voting rights. And meanwhile, back when I'm not for getting rid of the filibuster, even when the Republicans want to do it. When the Republicans wanted to do it, Chuck Schumer said, well, if we do that, we'll have a banana republic. And it's all wrong. We can't change the Senate rules. Then he goes on to say recently, he's everywhere saying, well, the Senate rules have been changed 9 times by what's his name? A bird. It's been changed. It's been changed. So when they don't have something going their way, they want to change the rules to win. They want to cheat. And then they don't want to talk about other filibustering expeditions like the 1964 Civil Rights Action. When who filibustered that? What party filibustered that? Oh, it was the Democrats. But they want to say voter ID is racist. They want everybody to go and get a vaccine, to eat in a restaurant in New York City. They want you to get a vaccine to go to college. Well, if you're going to mandate vaccines, how about when you put a shot in their arm, if that's what you're doing, you take that picture and you give them a voter ID card so everybody knows who everybody is voting. What's the problem with that? What is the problem then?
I think it's incredible. So, I mean, you know, I'm in New Jersey. You know, you're in New York, and you know, the Manhattan is in between. And it's like the delusion of the mainstream media. It just, that is probably the most ironic destroyer of narratives when it comes to the fact that we have been harped on since the midterms of 2018 to the election of 2020 that IDs were racist, and the same party who paraded around about that now tells predominantly many, because many black people in New York City are not vaccinated, that, oh, you can't come into our restaurants now because you can't prove it because you don't have an ID. It's the funniest thing ever. And again, I'm a candidate now, so I can't use expletives, but it's like, get out of here with that baloney. It is such craziness. And I'm telling you, people are seeing this, and the Democrats have overplayed their hand. We know how phony they are. Voters around the country and around the world are laughing at what the Democrat Party has become. And I think in 2022 and beyond, we are going to take this country back, because people at greater levels than ever before are getting directly affected by the just tyrannical, bloodthirsty, power-hungry nature of these radical leftists in control. They have pushed this country over to the brink. And I think people are like, wow, you know, the way that they're impacting my life is now personal. So I need to take a stand against that. And I'm going to vote for candidates who are going to ensure my freedoms, and shame on all of the rhinos out there, including my opponent, Chris Smith, who is the chief rhino of them all. Shame on them for not pushing back and doing things for their district when they're especially in a Republican district, right, where we're not sheep to these things. You know, right. We're getting affected and we're upset about it. You know, the sheep in New York City, they'll wear, you know, double masks outside when no one's, you know, a mile close to them. They're just, those are lost causes. But imagine being a Republican in a Republican deep conservative district like New Jersey 4 and having a congressman who's voting to create a national vaccine registry, which Chris Smith voted yes on, $400 million. How does that make any sense? And how don't the people throw him the hell out? That's what we're going to do.
Yeah, people have to be held accountable. You know, it's funny, Jersey politics, you had the governor election not too long ago. And that was I was watching Jersey, obviously Jersey and Virginia. And Jersey really took me for a loop because I think it was since 1989, a Democrat was not reelected as a governor in New Jersey. And then all of a sudden, it seemed like overnight that Murphy got just enough votes to win. I'm curious of whose trunk did that suitcase come out of?
Well, I'll tell you what about that election. I mean, we all know that the machines in New Jersey are built for the Democrats. Just look at how they redistricted the state. We just had redistricting, and you see an absolute hatchet job on the gerrymandering, and the Republicans, the weak Republicans in the state, didn't do anything to stop that process. So they got gerrymandered, but that's good news. You know why? Because District 4, district I'm running in, went from a plus 11 Trump to plus 23 Trump. So they didn't realize that one of their rhino buddies is going to get booted out at their own behest. But I will say that in that election, I believe that, you know, Republicans very well could have won that election. And I think that, you know, electing stronger Republicans in the statewide, ones that are not going to play patty cake with the leftists and pretend like they're doing conservative things, that will help infuse energy in New Jersey and help Republicans win elections all across the state of New Jersey, because there are great people in the state who love our values, and a lot of independents in the state who just want to be left the hell alone, make money, have a good career, and they have great opportunity. That's why they live in New Jersey. It's a great state to live. But I think strong Republicans in the Republican stronghold, campaigning, inspiring the base, giving inspired messages, articulating our positions, our commitment to freedom against tyranny, our commitment to more money in the pocket of the citizens, less money in the pocket of the government. I think those are winning arguments 10 times out of 10, and people will vote for those things above all else, especially when the Democrats have a message that is just so anti-everyday American.
Yeah, I don't know, because, you know, Joe Biden right now is saying that the economy's fine and we're bouncing back, and gas prices are getting lower, and people have more money in their pockets. I don't know. I don't know how the Republicans can top that.
Yeah, I mean, imagine being a voter and voting for Phil Murphy, and then he turns around, and what do they do? I saw him driving in New Jersey. This is such a Jersey story. So typical. I'm driving on the New Jersey Turnpike, and you know all the light up signs that have messages. What is their message? It's not Happy New Year, okay? The message that the state of New Jersey is putting up there is toll prices increasing January 1. That was the message. So it's like, this is what they think of you. They're going to squeeze you dry. The economy's dying. The gas prices are going up. Joe Biden's, you know, destroying this country with Bidenflation and his allegiance to the CCP. And all the local elected people can do in New Jersey and the Democrat Party is put up a message. But just so you know, everyday citizens, tolls are going up on January 1st. These are the people that they're voting for, right? It's like that toll.
Merry
going
Christmas.
Up, that toll going up affects the working class folks who, you know, everyone, the Democrats in their ivory towers. Oh, it's just an extra dollar, $2, $3. Every single day that adds up for the everyday working men and women. Republicans are the party of people who understand that. We have become the party of the working family men and women of this country, and the Democrats have turned into the out-of-touch elite coastal party where the rest of this country rejects what they're doing 100%.
Yeah, no, I agree. I want to pivot to something, Mike. I want to talk about the public education system overall. Yeah. It's big with me. I have a 9-year-old. She's in fourth grade, and I'm in a great school district. I mean, I pay $13,000 a year in taxes, and one of the best school districts in my area. And she started the fourth grade, and we decided to pull her out and put her in a homeschool co-op because really? Of yeah, because one, I wasn't sending her to school with a face diaper on her face. Again, it wasn't happening. I'm very concerned with in New York, my unelected dictator of a governor, Kathy Hochul, who's basically Cuomo in a dress with her vaxxed gold chain.
It's the most mentally ill thing I've ever seen, the vaxxed gold chain.
She says that if you don't get vaccinated, you're going against God, and religious exemptions are garbage. This is like Satan herself. Yeah. So we decided to go that route, and because she's going to mandate vaccines as soon as she can, like California, for children, and it's not happening. And also, now we have this issue of, you know, what Nicole Wallace at MSNBC calls a ghost, critical race theory and identity politics, and the normalization of sexualizing things for like fourth graders, like in an affluent school in Manhattan, the Dalton School, $55,000 a year. And they're showing fourth graders and third graders cartoons on how to masturbate. So what are we going to do? In my opinion, right now, I think the public school system is completely destroyed, and I'm telling people to abandon it. More people are opting to homeschool. I would say if you were going to defund one federal agency, it would be the Federal Department of Education and privatize everything. But what are we going to do with the education system?
I will say this, that you look at what's going on in schools and with CRT, critical race theory, I think that is one of the biggest issues in our country right now. Just the sheer fact alone that schools are mandating healthy children to wear face masks, which obviously is going to harm them for future generations to come. They're not going to develop the same rate. They got this disgusting mask that's getting dirt and germ. They got little kids wearing it. It's not healthy for kids. They're not developing at the same rate. Standardized test scores are lower than they've ever been before right now for kids. Why? Because you can't learn the same way with the face diaper on, okay? And that's what they're doing. Mask mandates in schools are literally child abuse. And I will say that, and I will say that so strong. It is disgusting how they're doing that. There has not been one iota of scientific evidence that points to face masks being effective for anything in schools. There's a lot of evidence that point to face masks having absolutely no impact at all, yet we're doing this to our children. So they're destroying our children by inhibiting their ability to develop by making them do that, and they're dumbing them down because they'll never be as good as they were if they develop normally. And then on the flip side of that, they're teaching them critical race theory, and you got parents in Loudoun County, Virginia, not very far from where Chris Smith lives full time, my opponent, and they're talking about how in the school system, you know, you have children getting up to testify, talking about the things that the teachers are saying to them, sexualizing their education, talking about white people, you know, being oppressors. And that is just so dangerous. And for people like us and people who listen to your show and my show and, you know, support my race, you know, we're strong patriots. We get it. But you know who that hurts the most? It hurts the vulnerable and young children and people developing. You know, they're going to listen to what they're told, and they're going to be afraid. And that's truly evil that, you know, people in the school system, the public school system, are doing that to children and indoctrinating them and making them feel like they're oppressors, making them feel any less valuable than what they are. And that is a great American who has amazing potential, making them feel marginalized. And that is a Democrat tactic. It's disgusting. And I am 100% for school choice, and the dollars need to follow the student, not the bloated bureaucracy of teacher union bosses getting rich. And then the local schools, you got teachers having to buy school supplies when the superintendents and the teacher union bosses are making amazing salaries. So you tell me what's going on there. It's a broken system. And what makes me mad about that more than anything is that one cuts to the core, because it's messing with the kids. And I'm telling you, they have the kids homeschooled. They're doing those things. It is truly disgusting. And again, where are the Republicans angry about this? Because they should be standing up and saying no. If every Republican in Congress stood up against this stuff, it wouldn't last very long. But as President Trump has pointed out, as Rogers pointed out, most of these Republicans in Congress are simply not fighters. They get by to get by. They play for their own reelection. And we have dealt with that way too long, and it's cost us a lot.
Yeah, and not to mention that our Republican leadership, both in the House and the Senate, are weak and establishment, and they need to go. They need to go. They don't listen to the strong Republicans in the party. We need strong leadership in the Republican Party that actually is going to stand up and defend, well, defend the Constitution, but to defend and back up their own party members. Like when somebody gets deplatformed, a member of Congress, or gets thrown off of all of their committees, Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, what is Kevin McCarthy and the leadership doing? They're doing absolutely nothing. That's just
one little point on Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy put a half-hearted support for Marjorie Taylor Greene out there. Didn't mention her by name as he called that out. That's because, you know, he is trying to play both sides of this. He's always been trying to play both sides. You know, Kevin McCarthy, I look at him and I say, hello, Kevin McCarthy, because he put out a statement the day that we announced our campaign endorsing Rhino Chris Smith. That's not a coincidence. So many people have been primarying him and trying to talk about him. He put out a statement the day that we announced the campaign, that we announced that Roger was running the campaign. He's scared. And he went directly against the president. Again, McCarthy will try to say all the right things, you know, when he's put on the spot because he's an opportunist. But what did McCarthy do? He went against what President Trump said. President Trump is no fan of Chris Smith. He's made that publicly known. McCarthy endorsed him, right? Right. And I think that is disgraceful. But he did it because he saw our announcement and he feels legitimately threatened. And we are certainly going to make good on that by running a campaign that gets the grassroots in a Trump plus 22 district, get them fired up and get this guy voted out of office and put a true America First patriot in there who's going to make the right decisions that actually align with the people of the district and not have a guy representing this district by a gentleman who lives in Herndon, Virginia for decades and doesn't know the people, has never connected with them. I hear local elected officials say, yeah, I met Chris Smith once in the last 10 years. How's that the leader of the local area? That's such a joke.
It's a disgrace. To be honest, I don't even know how they allow that, how it's legal, where I truly believe you should have to live in your district and remain in your district to get elected and to hold that position. I mean,
we're gonna be, and by the way, we've been going back and forth. We were in the Washington Times, and Smith was upset about, you know, our very accurate quotes about him not living in New Jersey. As you can see, his team is rattled about this because they're sending corrections to the Washington Times or Washington Examiner, whoever wrote the story about us, and they're sending corrections. But we will, in the next month or two in the campaign, we will have more information on this, and Chris Smith is going to have to put up or shut up. Because he was quick, his team was quick to send those corrections. We are going to talk about him and where he lives. And listen, Chris Smith, if you want to prove it, show us the property records, right? He'll never do that. And he gave a half-hearted statement when his district was remapped and Hamilton, where he allegedly lives, was drawn out. He said some weird, awkward statement about, well, we're going to move. From what? One P.O. box to another P.O. box, right? I mean, it's an absolute joke. You know, the people should not stand for this. He doesn't even live here. The people don't even know him. And enough is enough. And they're going to see it very soon. And they're very afraid of this campaign. And I take that as a badge of honor because Kevin McCarthy's endorsement for him, that is a endorsement for us in America First.
I love it. Mike Crispy. Running for Congress, New Jersey 4. Mike, I want you to tell everybody where they can find the campaign website, where they can find you, how they can help out, how they can donate, and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, MikeCrispy.com. Easy enough. MikeCrisp is in Peter I. MikeCrispy.com. Check it out. You can donate there. Check out my policy positions. read a little bit about what led me to this race. And we look forward to everybody's support. Every dollar counts. We're making a very aggressive fundraising push. Chris Smith has never been primaried in 41 years. He doesn't know what to think right now. He might actually have to spend more than 5 days in New Jersey for the first time in decades. So, you know, and if we do anything, we get him to actually show up. But he's in trouble. We all know that. Our campaign is going to be working very hard. You know, I obviously stepped away from, you know, my broadcasting stuff in a capacity, and I'm working really, really hard because the country and New Jersey needs it. We got to do it. And I felt compelled to take the call. I felt, you know, called to do this at the right time. Somebody needed to step up. And it's obviously a great opportunity if we put everything together. I think we got an amazing team in place. I think we're going to have some amazing and exciting support and endorsements and fundraising that you're going to hear about over the next couple months. So I'm just really excited, and I'm grateful for you having me on. And once again, MikeCrispy.com for anyone who wants to learn more, support. We would really appreciate it. And we're going to go to Congress, and we're going to do exactly what we say we're going to do. And that's put America first, put your freedoms first, and not allow rhinos to have any say in government anymore.
I love it. I love it, Mike. Your campaign is one that I'm excited about. I was excited the moment Roger Stone talked about it. I'm also excited because he's involved, a mutual friend of ours, and you're lucky to have him involved in quarterbacking this. I can't wait to speak on it more with him. And I want to have you back as the campaign progresses. Anytime, you're always welcome. Your show is great. The Red, White, and Truth on Right Side Broadcasting Network, MikeCrispy.com. You have to go to it. Donate something. And people have to realize, like, I'm in New York, and I look at candidates all over the country. People have to also say, hey, there's a really great candidate running in Jersey. There's a really great candidate running in Pennsylvania. They need our help. Don't be afraid to donate to out-of-state candidates. I do it all the time, people. It's important. We need to flip Congress. So you have to look at out-of-state candidates like you, Mike. So everybody go to MikeCrispy.com, whether it's $1, $10, $200, donate something, get involved. I'm going to get involved. I can't wait to see where your events are, because it's a short drive for me and I'm going to attend them. And Mike, I want to thank you for coming on with me.
It was an honor. We're doing this obviously at nighttime, as you can see by my dark glow. Yeah. We're working really hard, right? From sun up till sundown on this campaign. A great man once said, we're going to win so much, you might even get tired of winning. So that is going to be our credo, and we're going to work so hard every day. And, you know, if I get to Congress, and when I get to Congress, you know, it's good for everybody across the country, because great American patriots running all over this country, many of which I have, you know, great admiration for and connect with. We go to Congress together. We can fundamentally take this country back and save America. That's what we're going to do. It's an honor to come on, sir, and look forward to coming back soon.
Thank you, Mike. I love it. MikeCrispy.com, running for Congress, New Jersey 4. Get out and support him. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Get all the episodes over at the website, thegreatdivide1776.com, Facebook, Instagram, at The Great Divide Podcast, on Rumble, YouTube sucks, get me, take care of yourself, take care of each other. Most of all, God bless America, you take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.